My name is Will, and I, like Mulder from The X-Files, want to believe. So I've embarked on a journey of discovery. I've talked to people deeply entrenched in this spiritual world. I've thrown myself into weird and wonderful experiences. I've even joined a coven of witches, all in the interest of finding something, anything, that will prove that there's something beyond this physical, three-dimensional world we all live in. This is The Skeptic Metaphysician. Hey, welcome back to The Skeptic Metaphysician, where we explore all things metaphysical, spiritual, and just plain unexplained. Today, I have two special guests on the show. The first guest goes by the name of Benjamin the Dream Wizard. He runs a podcast called Dreamscapes that delves into dream interpretation. And next to me is my lovely wife, Karen, who actually had a dream interpretation session with the Dream Wizard. And they're both here today to share their individual experiences with us. Benjamin, Karen, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's good to be here.
I'm excited.
Good to see you guys again. I really had fun talking to you, so it'd be nice to talk about what we talked about.
Yeah, we had a blast, and I find these things unbelievably intriguing and exciting and all those special adjectives that you can think of. But before we get into the dream that you interpreted for Karen, and I should say it's more of a collaborative interpretation, right? It's not you picking up a book and saying, oh, there's a castle means that you're cold or something.
Right? Absolutely, yeah. I try not to get into that, what I refer to as like a dream dictionary approach, where one symbol has a universal meaning for all people. I try to make it very personal, and I think it is very personal to each dreamer, so it's a different approach, yeah.
And before we get into that, let's talk about you and what dreams are. So first and foremost, how did you become the Dream Wizard?
Well, it was, a 20-year journey through psychology itself to get to the point where I felt comfortable taking this kind of thing public, but for at least that long, I mean longer, I've been fascinated with dreams my own, although I don't tend to remember them, but other people would tell me their dreams, and it was back in college that I had the assignment from one teacher. They said, okay, here's dream interpretation, Freudian and Jungian. Try and get a dream from a friend or one of your own and apply those methods you're learning, each in the style of Jung and Freud. And it was just an assignment to learn more about the history of, I think it might have been in history and systems of psychology. Anyway, so I actually had at that time a dream I remembered from a few years prior and then a recent dream. And I was able to apply those methodologies that were similar but slightly different, and turned it in, got a really good grade on it. And the teacher was like, you get it, you understand how this thing works. And that kind of made me think I might have a knack for it. And so throughout the years, I've had other people tell me their dreams, and I've given them my feedback in a way, but it's more of like asking questions and getting them to help me identify what's relevant. And then all the way up to this point, I'm like, you know, what if people are interested in this? What if I start a channel and I start interpreting dreams and people start watching it? Maybe it's a thing. And it's picking up steam. It's not so bad. So that's kind of my long story short on the journey to get here, is just been doing it forever. And I, humbly, I say, I think I have a knack for it, a talent for it. And from the feedback I'm getting from folks who have graciously let me help them understand what their experience, it seems like they're happy with the results. So that just makes me very happy too.
Now, do you lean towards a typical style, more Freudian or Jungian or combination of both?
That is why I describe it in my bio as an eclectic mix. I borrow from a lot of different traditions, I guess you'd say, but so there is a bit of the Freudian in there. And actually, a lot of people say, give Freud a hard time. It's, you know, one cigar being a penis and whatnot. And people accuse him of being misogynistic and whatnot. But a lot of his foundational theories, just the idea of sit down and talk to your patient, that's Freud. That, like, he started that medically in psychology, and it's become so foundational that people forget that he started that, and that he, you know, so we owe him a lot of credit for the things he got right and not for the things he got wrong. So I do borrow from that, but I'm also very heavy in Jung. I'm not strictly a Jungian, but he was the one who was like, focus more on those archetypal representations that are common to human experience, which is kind of what the dream dictionary stuff gets right in a way, but they're too specific and not specific enough to the person. So yeah, but it is very, long story short again, it is very eclectic. And I just listen. I listen and try and get that feedback from the person that what I'm suggesting is relevant to them. And if it's not, we move on.
Right. People talk about these books. And in fact, you mentioned it when we first sat with you, but you don't just pull up a dream interpretation book and the symbolism is not specifically what you focus on, rather images, feelings, the psychology behind it, which is different than these books, which mean, you know, a yellow monkey means you're scared to go out on the boat.
Yeah, it means you're low in potassium. You should eat everything. Something like that. Yeah, and I did actually a recent, so I've got a couple of different series on my channel. It's in development. I don't know what I'm doing. I've been doing this for like a year, but I'm still kind of getting a feel for it. So there's the Dreamscapes interviews, and those are the full length, beginning to end. You get to see it, warts and all. You get to see me fumble and be wrong continually, which if it gets us where we're going, I'm happy with it. There's what I call my What Dreams May Come, which are kind of the teaser shorts of here's just the dream. And it's 5-10 minutes, and people can refer to that playlist and say, well, I'm not interested in that dream. How about the next one? And you don't have to listen to a 3-hour interview to decide whether you're interested or not. You can kind of choose which dream might be interesting. But the other one is what I call my ABC channel, and it's the ABCs of dream interpretation. It's augury, bibliomancy, and chaos. Augury being predicting or understanding, divining. Bibliomancy, in the strictest sense, it is opening the Bible and pointing to a word and having that predict your future, which is not actually what it is. My form of bibliomancy is using my knowledge gleaned from practice and study of psychology. So that's the bibliomancy. And then chaos is just roll the dice, who knows what's going to happen type of stuff, which dreams seem chaotic and the interpretation process itself is chaotic. So long story short, on that episode I did on debunking the dream dictionary, which is where I was going with that.
It sounds like we found a catchphrase for Benjamin the Dream Wizard. But long story short,
I'm going to put that at the beginning of every 3.5-hour dream interpretation.
Right. So I found two things interesting about what you just said. What Dreams May Come obviously is a reference to a Richard Matheson story that was made into a movie actually with Robin Williams, which one of my favorite movies. Richard Matheson. Matheson happens to be one of my favorite authors of all time. Very underrated, and would recommend it to anyone who's listening right now. He actually single-handedly wrote most of the stories for The Twilight Zone, for example.
Oh, I never knew that.
He's an incredible author. If you don't know of him, I would recommend it highly. But second of all, do you mean to tell me that you have all these other things that you're doing?
Well, I'm dabbling in a lot of stuff. So what I was trying to do with that ABC channel was, and I did, like the very first episode, is here's four theories on dream interpretation, where dreams come from and what they mean. And then I moved into some other stuff that were like long explanations of Freud and Jung because they're big influences. I did an episode on a guy who's still with us. He's practicing, I want to say University of Santa Cruz. His name is G. William Domhoff, and he has his own theories. He does a more analytical, by the quantitative approach to dreaming. How many people appeared? How many colors were there? How many interactions with animals? He like counts them, and he's developing quite the dream database. I'd tell anyone out there, look up Bill or William Domhoff and go to add your dream to his dream database. It's good stuff.
I may ask you to send that to me via email so I can put it in the show notes, because I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this are
absolutely.
Now, how would that database be different than like a dream dictionary?
So the dream dictionary, and actually, well, this is where we're getting around. This is way, the long story short, I was trying to get to is I did that episode on dream dictionaries, which I think it was the ABC episode 14. And I get into actually the history of dream dictionaries, which one of the most famous people, say, in the dream book genre is a guy by the name of Artemidorus Dalianus. And
bless you.
Exactly. What he did was he goes back to antiquity, which is basically like, you know, time of Christ, 2000 years ago, ancient Greek and Rome and whatnot. And he traveled around talking to the diviners, oracles, augurs, magicians, all the different people that were doing dream interpretations. And he collected all those different types. And so what we get with the modern dream dictionary is actually this long history of, say, biblical stories, the collected works of Artemidorus, and they get kind of renewed and regurgitated in these different forms. So when you're reading a modern dictionary, a dream dictionary, you're actually looking at these historical references that are, you know, if you dream of corn, it means one thing because that was the biblical dream with Joseph and Pharaoh, I think. That's where a lot of those dream dictionary entries come from.
I heard he had an amazing Technicolor dream coat.
Right? And that was it. That's exactly the idea, a coat of many colors. And there's some great works out there about what does it mean to have a coat? What does it mean to wear a coat? To be given one by your father, to have it be of many colors representing many things. I love the symbolism. That's where my brain goes with this. Sorry.
Right. So it sounds like there's a lot of interesting things that you delve into that I'm sure if you go on the webs to find Benjamin the Dream Wizard, and I'll lay in all these links in the show notes for you so they're easy for you to access. But it's not just dreams, it's or the Dreamscapes podcast itself. There's all kinds of layers to Benjamin that I'm just now discovering myself, as a matter of fact.
I don't tend to mention these things when I'm interviewing people. It's more about it's about getting to the core of your experience with the dream. So I don't tend to bother my guests guess, with telling them all about where they can buy merch.
Right, right.
For sure.
Yeah. But on the flip side, I think if you don't talk about these things and no one knows. So for example, in the case of this show, I believe that people who are tuning in for the dream part of it will be interested in the bibliomancy.
Yes. Well, that's part of what I'm doing with the books too. So of course I want to sell books and make a living. That's fantastic too. But I'm educating myself in that autodidactic way of like, I couldn't have written or produced that episode about the Dream Dictionary approach if I hadn't been writing these books where I'm reading like almost every famous and most not famous work of theoretical postulating on dreams and where they come from, dating back to antiquity and 2,000 years ago. There's a whole lot of stuff that came from, say, the 1500s through the 1800s and into the 1900s with, you know, and Freud's work on dreams was published 1901. That's what I'm republishing in these books is like, look at this history. This is what's been said about dreams. These were popular works for mass consumption. These were considered academic scholarly works in the 15th and 1600s produced by monks, these things. And so I've got a series that I'm about to publish the third book on, which is anyone who looks at the title won't know how to pronounce it. It's called Onirochronologia, the history of dream interpretation across time, or the study of dreams. And it's doing this kind of chronological sampling, like an anthology works of all these different dream theories over time. So that's one series I'm putting together. And it's all part of educating myself. So I'm a better interpreter. I understand where I'm coming from, the shoulders of the giants I'm standing on.
Yeah, right. And far be it from me to not mention the fact that on this show, we're also giving our audience a really great vocabulary lessons, things that we hadn't heard of before. So
my lapsing isn't Latin, I'm sorry.
These words, you get a prize.
Now, a lot of people that I've had on the show before would claim that dreams are very specific, whether they are past life coming back to remind you of things that you've done in the past, or your psychic self or your higher self trying to give you messages. I mean, we've talked on the show about all different types of things like that, and dreams maybe being from your past relatives coming back to give you messaging and things like that. In your estimation, now I think I know what your answer is going to be, but in your estimation, what are dreams? Why do we have them? What good are they for?
Yeah, first I do want to give a nod to all of that less materially provable theoretical framework for dreams. It is entirely possible we got past life stuff. Maybe we reincarnate. Hell if I know. Maybe there is psychic communication between human beings in that collective consciousness mode. Maybe there are messages from spirits, and there's, you know, across the veil, we can get that stuff. I don't know, but I call myself is a credulous skeptic. I will believe anything, but my bar for proof is pretty high. So I maintain that open mind of like, hey, maybe so. I'll look at the evidence. And if the evidence is lacking, the best I can say is, as far as I know, I can't prove that. So with the supernatural end of things, I put it on a shelf and it's a very pretty object to look at and I don't know what to do with it. So long story short.
The title of this show.
Right. I always struggle coming up with titles for the episodes too. I try and make it personal to the person I'm interviewing, relevant to the material, except it was great. And when people see the podcast, I just called your episode The Skeptic Metaphysician, because that was easy, right? So in my perspective, what are dreams? Well, how do I say this? The brain, as far as I understand, is like the heart. It never stops from the moment you're conceived. The heart beats, the brain thinks. And that means even in sleep, the brain doesn't turn off. It's still processing data. It's just not receiving new information. So what is it going to do? It's going to process what it's already got in there. It's like a perpetual problem-solving machine. It almost can't turn itself off. And, you know, well, brain death is in human beings is almost equivalent to heart death. It's like those are signs of being alive. So you wouldn't want it to stop necessarily. So it's not a surprise that in our sleep, our brain is still moving. Now, my current understanding is, as best as I can relate, is that everyone dreams every night. Most people either don't remember them, or they don't leave a strong impression, or some people remember dreaming every night. And that blows me away, because I almost never remember any of my dreams, which contributes to my fascination with other people's dreams. Like, tell me what it's like to dream, because I barely remember. So that's what, in my understanding, that's what dreams are, is our brain continuing to process. Now, why specific dreams? That's what you got to get to after you've had it. Why that display? Why that experience? Why those emotions? Why those images? And they usually say something about what you're going through, what you're thinking about in the daytime, what past challenges have caused you stress or created opportunities and how they relate to, say, future projects or current experiences. So that's my kind of purely psychologically based understanding of dreams, what they are and where they come from.
Yep, it makes perfect sense. And it does keep the door wide open to the other possibilities, because you mentioned it's our brain processing things that are already in there. So it could be that your past lives are in there, right? It could very easily be you accessing that information to process. So I'm going to put a direct link to your show once it's ready to come out, because we're about to now dive into the reason why Karen is here more than anything else. I am one of those people that woefully does not remember very many of his dreams. So when we first started communicating, the idea was for me to come on your show to talk about one of my dreams and interpret it. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, holy smokes, I've got nothing to share with him, right?
Oh, that's a little bit of a challenge for my show too, is I'll talk to anybody about anything, but if you're going to come on as a guest, it's kind of a dream interpretation show. Yeah. It needs to be something to talk about.
Right. And I didn't think you'd want me to just make up something, because then it'd be a hard goose to chase in that sense.
But, yeah. As far as I know, no one's ever made anything up, but if they did, I couldn't tell. And that's
right. Yep. Fair enough. Well, so I thought the next best thing is I know that Karen has had a recurring dream that has never really been solved or looked at in any very serious way. So what better opportunity than to bring her on? It kind of solves both of our problems, where we have a way for you to have content for your show while at the same time solve the case of the Karen insomniac recurring dream problem. And at the same time, then also allow us to open the door to talk about dream interpretation and how that all works. So if you're interested in hearing the full dream and the dream interpretation, please follow Dreamscapes, the podcast. I'll put a link in the show notes for that, so you can listen to the full dream. We're not going to spend as much time on here as we did on your show with it, but I do want to touch on it because there were some interesting things in it, right? In a nutshell, the dream that Karen was having repeatedly was having to do with very narrow passageways in an old house that she owns currently. You know what? Why don't I let her tell it?
Yeah. So this dream, there have been a variety of iterations of this dream, but what connects them, what they all have in common is I'm always climbing through some sort of tunnel or passageway. I guess passageway is better, because a tunnel, you think about something that you dug, but this is whether I'm climbing through up into an attic, usually climbing through an old house in some sort of very small enclosed, fully finished passageway where I have to hike myself up and I can feel the effort that I'm putting in. It's not easy. I'm having to use upper body strength, which I don't have a lot of. And I typically will end up in a different apartment that is very pretty empty. And then I think, well, how could anybody live here? Because you can't get furniture in there. And sometimes the floor is dilapidated, but sometimes it's perfect. But the main thing is this climbing. It's happened where I've had to climb through an alien ship. I've climbed up to a random terrace. I've climbed through parking garages to get away from people. But this climbing and these small passageways is what I wanted to talk about.
Right. And over the course of, I think it was an hour and a half or something like that.
Yeah. And that's honestly a relatively short episode for me. I mean, they've gone as long as 3.5 hours, not typically, but yeah, but that can be enough to get there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so what I liked about the way you did it was you let her tell the dream and then you went back over it in much more minute detail. You took copious notes and then you went back and you touched on the different specific aspects of the dream that helped to fabricate an overall story arc to help try to interpret it for her.
Yeah, that's a great description. That is literally my process. That's the result of 20 years of me just talking to people about their dreams and needing to do it that way to get where I'm going, to be of use to someone. I would never claim that's the only way to do it, or there may be some people who are more intuitive, people that don't need to take notes, I have a terrible memory. But yeah, it's that process of really getting as much detail for myself to be of use, but also to put the person back in the dream as fully as possible. And it happened to you, Karen. I think there were some moments where you're like, oh, now that I think of it, I have this additional memory that opens up at that moment in the dream, but only because you were prompted. So that's what I see as the benefit of that second hard pass through the material to get a lot more detail. Yeah.
Right. So I don't want to necessarily give it all away, right? But what was the underlying feeling behind it? Can you say that without spoiling too much of it?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I could figure from the feedback and from my own suggestions and kind of trying to get that conceptualization going was that they're, I kind of like the way I phrased it too, this a bit of a copy paste that allows you to apply it to multiple circumstances, like a known quantity. You're going through this again. This is how you understand it in this framework. And then it becomes the small differences between the reoccurring dreams that are more important. So long story short, again, it's kind of about the, as far as I could understand, the decision-making process, the effort, the struggle of committing to a task. There was something in there. Now I would have to go back and read my notes, but it seemed like it was something in there. If that's what you recall, then
yeah,
it was different than what I had expected. And yeah. I think I kind of came into this thinking it would be more like, okay, this is a passageway. This is what it means. Mm. And what I liked about it was it kind of felt like a group effort. Like we were all kind of talking about it. And this could, you know, what were you going through your life at that time? And think about this. And it gave me different ways to look at it that I hadn't expected. And that was helpful.
That was fantastic. I've had a duo on my podcast before, and them bouncing ideas off each other was fantastic too, because you know you thought of things I did not think of to ask, and it was useful. And you know knowing her better than I did, you were able to get to the core of some things a lot faster. That's fantastic. I think all the help I can get.
No, I think you did a great job without any help. But and in fact, you did an admirable job with someone sticking their nose in where it doesn't belong, like I did. But was there anything in her dream that struck you as different, as challenging, strange? Anything that kind of made it more memorable for you?
Oh wow! Every single dream. Yes. Every single dream it's this completely bizarre, surreal experience to like go inside someone else's head. And we talked about that movie from the 80s, Dreamscapes, which is not where I borrowed the title from, but then I realized, oh, they made a movie about that too. It's a less friendly version of going into people's heads. But to be like invited in is number one, an honor. And then to be able to go there and be useful. So every single dream is just fascinating from the get-go, and I am horribly confused by everything I hear. That's actually, it's like part of the fun for me is it's like solving a puzzle. Where does this piece go? What is the shape of this piece? What does it even look like? You know, what are the colors in the corner? Does it match? Is that a brick wall? You know, and then when they start falling into place, it's like a meaning driven, like a purposeful, like a useful euphoria, like an accomplishment type of feeling. It's like a meaningful success type of feeling. And I just thrive on that. That's better than doing drugs. I'll tell you that kind of, whoa, the people I talk to, they get epiphany moments, light bulb goes off, different type of stuff. But and when I see that, I get a zing too. I'm like, oh, I just helped them have that moment.
You heard it here first, folks. Don't do drugs. Do dream interpretation.
Right.
So then, Karen, can you tell me, how did you find the process?
Well, I like that it was kind of like a group effort. And it's funny because I keep thinking about it. Right now, while he was talking about the details, I thought about something that we mentioned that we didn't look at. I'm just going to put this out there. We don't have to really discuss it. But 98% of the dreams, it's an old house. And then once, it's a spaceship. And the difference between that old and like uber modern. So I don't know. That's kind of interesting. But getting back to your question.
And that's great too, because when you have that kind of cookie cutter, copy paste, reoccurring dream, those differences become more important. So, and we didn't spend a lot of time on that. I probably wrote it down and forgot, which is why I always ask throughout the episode, as we're getting towards the end, is there anything that you think I missed? Is there anything you think I missed? I asked that like a dozen times because I don't want to, and that's why some episodes go to 3 hours, because I'm in for the marathon. You got more questions? I'll keep talking. So the spaceship, a little window into my process is like, first I have my own ideas, but what I don't want to do, and I was going to mention this too before, was I don't want to give you answers. Like I don't put a lot of stock in the dream dictionary approach, and I am not a dream dictionary. I don't actually have any answers. I have questions, and hopefully I ask the right questions and it triggers the answers for you. And then you have that feeling of there's just a knowing, like, yeah, that's it. And that's where we get resolution to the questions, is inside the dreamer. Back to the spaceship. Sorry. So the peek inside my process is what I would be asking you, or what I'd be angling towards, is what do spaceships mean to you? So there's a kind of Freudian free association type of thing going on, but then also bringing my own conceptualizations to it of like, okay, it's a sci-fi framework. Is there something there? It's a future oriented framework. Is there something there? Is there something about a memory from childhood or a movie you've seen that resonates with you in some way? The movie, you know, Star Trek, Jeffrey's Tubes, or the aliens, where the little girl's crawling underneath the ductwork hiding from the aliens. So I throw all those things at you, you, and hopefully something, a light bulb turns on somewhere, yep. And then we focus on that.
So. Right. I think we did touch on the alien and Jeffrey's tube part of the interpretation.
We did, but we didn't compare how, like, one super modern tunnel and all the rest of them were old antique house.
Right. Sort of. So that sounds like a sequel.
Definitely could. Yep. And that would have been another question for me too, is like, now that we've given it a little bit of time, so I think it was about a week ago or something, have you had the dream again? Have you had new insights, understandings about it?
Yeah, it sounds like you cleared it.
Yeah, I have not had the dream again.
And you might, or you might not. As I was saying during the interview, is like, it may come back because now it's become part of you, this way of understanding things. It may disappear completely. I've had people report that.
So one thing that I was thinking about when you were asking me, Will, about the process, it's kind of like, you know those pictures where you look, and if you look at it, it can either be an old lady or a dog?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know? So it's kind of like me looking at the picture and saying, oh, well, it's a dog. And then Benjamin looks at the picture and says, well, is it an old lady? And I'm like, oh, look at that. Could be. Maybe it means this thing.
That's a great way of explaining it. Nice. Nice. I mean, I need to have you on the show more often. Then, Karen, do you feel that Benjamin did a good job in helping you work through this dream to give you a little bit more clarity?
I do, definitely. Like I said, it wasn't what I expected, but that's good. It was something totally different, and it made me work through the dream. Like, he made me do some of the work. I thought he was just going to tell me, but he was like, no, you're going to help me figure this out, and we'll do it together. And I liked that.
And it's interesting because it goes back to the cognitive behavioral therapy process, right? You're not given a pill to deal with your mental health issues. You talk through it so that you can work through the trauma. Same basic principle with dreams. Apparently, it's something that's stuck. You're stuck in a certain pattern that keeps recurring. When she was able to talk through it with you, it looks like she might have been able to clear that now. So we'll see. We'll let you know whether it comes back.
Yeah, and it may not be a bad thing that it comes back, and it may not be a bad thing that it disappears. It depends on whether it's useful to you. If it's useful, it'll return to help you, which is just your brain thinking through problems, constantly problem solving. One thing I've been very happy to be able to do for a couple folks was very distressing nightmare reoccurring dreams. I was able to help, I think, at least one person on the show and a couple of people in the past clear those dreams, in terms of once they were able to consciously grasp what they were worried about, the dream wasn't necessary anymore and they didn't have to experience it. The brain didn't bring it back to shove it in their face and say, you still haven't looked at this, look at this. Right. And that's, I feel just tremendously amazing about being able to do that. It feels like a miracle to me.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
To them too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, I am part of your Discord community now. And I read other people who are really banging down your door hoping, can you please help me? And then seeing the follow-up like, hey, thank you, now I can move on kind of thing. So a testament to what you're doing.
Yeah. I love it. I love it so much. I really feel good about being helpful like that. That's huge for me. I wouldn't do this if I couldn't. That was the other one. Dream wizard or dream doctor? I'm like, well, I can't really call myself a doctor. There's no licensure for being a wizard, not yet.
Is there a story or two or a dream or two that really sticks out in your mind as something that, wow, this is something that either shocked you or threw you or really intrigued you? Or was there a particular dream that really spoke to you? Anything that you could think off the top of your head?
Well, there are definitely some where I'm able to, maybe it's me, the time of day, my mental clarity, or just the relations I'm able to draw. There are some that are easier than others. Like I just recorded one a few days ago that'll go up like in a couple of weeks. And we were almost able to get right to the heart of quite a few things. And a lot of that also depends on how clearly the dreamer can see themselves and put the pieces together with me. So definitely having an active, eager participant is a big deal. But flip side of it, I'm going to put myself on blast and say I completely failed to give any kind of relevant understanding of, I believe it was episode number 19. And the title of it is Going Nowhere, because the dreamer was actually stuck, like strapped to a chair in the sand under a noon sun in a coliseum, and he wasn't going anywhere. And this is why I say I try and name the episodes very relevant to the experience. We went nowhere with the dream. I couldn't figure it out. All of my suggestions just weren't landing. There was some abstraction going on there and I couldn't grasp it, completely failed. But I put that episode up too. And I said, you know, this, I gave it a try and I'm not ashamed to fail. So, but I think that's the only one I haven't been able to give people something useful, some kind of satisfaction out of the experience. But episode 19, Going Nowhere.
Going Nowhere sounds like something I need to go check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not because I want to hear your failure, but because I'm really intrigued on how it didn't work.
And I want to hear feedback too, of like, if you hear something I don't, if you have an idea that didn't occur to me, if you have questions for the dreamer, leave comments, join the Discord, get on the YouTube channel, tell me in the comment section, what did I miss? How can I do this better next time? Because hopefully the next person I interview, I'm able to get there better, faster, with more clarity, more relevance. I call myself the Dream Wizard. It's a branding thing. But also, I think wizards are real. Not the throwing fireball kind of wizard, but as old man, you get the gray hair, you've seen a lot, you know what you're doing, and you can speak magic words. You can tell people things that are useful, that make their life better. It's more of an aspirational thing for me. I hope someday to be a real wizard and have those magic words.
Certainly everyone in our audience understands that words have power. There's no question.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I urge everyone and anyone to visit your podcast and your YouTube show and your social medias, and I will lay them all out on my show notes. But Benjamin, I really appreciate you coming on and walking us through this stuff, because it's super intriguing to me. If you wanted to leave our audience with one final thought, here's your chance to be a wizard. Any last minute words of wisdom you can impart?
One of the favorite things I've heard recently, follow your dreams. They know the way.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. Well, I really appreciate you very much. Thank you for coming on. And I will definitely put a link on the show notes to Karen's dream episode, so you can, if you're interested, go over there and listen to the whole thing and the whole process, because it was fascinating.
Yeah, thank you. This has been fun too. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about my guest, I'd strongly urge you to subscribe to Dreamscapes Podcast. If you have any curiosity about these things, his show is a tremendous source I'm sure you will enjoy listening to. You can find it on all the major podcasting platforms or watch his video show on YouTube. I've laid in direct links to those in my show notes, as I mentioned. To find him online, his website is benjaminthedreamwizard.wordpress.com. You can find him on Twitter at Wizard Benjamin and on Facebook at Benjamin the Dream Wizard. And he's got some great merchandise on there too that I'm sure you'll absolutely love. I'm going to buy myself some stuff because he's got some really cool designs. And again, all those links are directly in the show notes for convenience. As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And don't forget, you can always send me a voice message on speakpipe.com/skepticmetaphysician. I would really, truly love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, feedback on the show or the guests or anything. And I love sharing people's stories and would love to share yours too. So please feel free to reach out if you'd like to come on the show. You can also join me on Facebook at The Skeptic Metaphysician. Links to my social media platforms and SpeakPipe access are all in the show notes as well. Well, that's all for now. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you again on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysician. Until then, take care.